Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Titus chapter 3, Dr. Bloom was discussing how before any man is appointed to a church leadership position, he should be required to solemnly promise that he would never attempt to change the biblical standards of the church. Let's continue with that discussion today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
When a teacher, a preacher, or some leader leaves, or they die, replace good people with people of God. In our church, we have deacons, and when we vote a new deacon in the board, we have him put his hand on the Bible and promise with his hand on the Bible before God that he will not go with the way of the world. Anybody tries to change the standards, try to change the Bible or anything like that, he will not go that. He'll stay true to what we are. And he will resign and leave before he would do that. So we ask to put their hand in the Bible and do that. And he said, preacher, should you do that? Yes. God sees the heart, but I don't. There's some very likable, nice people that are the wrong people. It's got to be God's man. And they've got to be willing to stand and not think, well, it's not so bad if I tell a lie now. Okay? So we want them to say that you're going to have this biblical standard and not a personality standard. Make sure that those people are proven people. People who've done the work. It might be an assistant pastor. Might be somebody that's from the past. But if they've stood, and you know by speaking to God, talking to God about it, and talking to that person, maybe that is the person. But get the leading of God and know that they will stay true to the doctrine and to the will of God. Now, there may be some of you that are looking for a pastor in your church or something else, and that is really the way to go, is what does God say? And if I was in a church and we're bringing somebody in to candidate, I'd ask them to put their hand on the Bible and say they will never go contemporary. They'll never go away from King James. They'll never bring in this other wrong kind of music or this woke culture or anything of that nature. And their standards will still be high and pure. And just say, put your hand on the Bible and just say, I will stay true. So help me God. And God stop me if I don't or if I lie. Now, they'll repeat that. Let me tell you something. Believe God. He can stop them. He can stop them. And so, pray rightly in that. We don't want somebody who's trying to be relevant to the world or to placate people in the church who have a tendency to lean with whatever the world tells them they should do. Which includes these abominable contemporary churches and church people who are corrupting doctrine and standards simply to get a crowd instead of reaching souls and changing lives to glorify God in righteousness and true holiness. You see, it is not about having a name or position. Rather, it is more of a person who is not only right doctrinally, they must have a work ethic. If there's one thing I get asked by pastors when I go to board meetings or pastors' fellowships, Now, what is it with these new preachers coming out? These young men, I get them in here, youth directors, all that, and they don't seem to want to work. You know, they feel like they were called for vacation, whatever. You assigned them some work to do, and they kind of seem frowning and getting upset about it and so forth, and trying to get them to get the job done. They don't have the work ethic to get it done. So that's why you've got to look for those things. Are they dependable? Are they neat people? Remember, Moses was called in Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all. See, hear that? Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Wow, anybody on this earth at that time, Moses was more meek than any of them. What is meekness? Well, keep in mind that these are definitions from a Webster's 1828 dictionary, who defined Bible words as they would line up, and that's from our King James Bible, by the way, that would line up with the manuscripts used for the 1611 King James Bible. And that's why he designed that dictionary. So he goes on to say, mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked, nor irritated, yielding, giving forbearance, under injuries. Even under injuries. Now, hey, you read the history of Moses, see what he went through with those children of Israel. The meek man, he pretty well faces that, because anytime the Israel's in trouble, he's the guy that's interceding and saving. The man Moses, yes, was very meek above all men, as we just read in Numbers 12. Moses is mild of temper. He's a gentleman. But keep in mind, that meekness was not weakness. When he came off the mountain, he had a holy indignation at sin. The sin of their worship of the golden calf in Yahweh's name. Moses also was not easily provoked nor irritated. He was yielding, given to forbearance under injury. Remember? He slammed down, don't have it, with the Ten Commandments on. But he also interceded for the people. And he did that on several occasions in the wilderness. The second definition of this word is this, of the word meekness, is appropriately humble. In a reverential sense. In an evangelical sense. Submissive to the divine will, not proud, not self-sufficient, or refractory, that is a sullen, slow to obey, not follow the directions, or they want to do it their way, attitude. Instead, they're doing the work. They're doing God's will, God's way. But the person that lacks that will do little to try to complete a job that God has given. They just want a name or position. Pastors have asked me, as I said earlier, what is wrong with the colleges today? And I think that's the wrong question. So these kids coming out, I don't think that's it, whether it's teachers or youth directors or other leaders in the church. No, I don't think that's the question, what's wrong with the colleges. I think the question is what's wrong with these young people? I mean, if they come out and they're somewhat lazy, that's not the college's fault. You might draw it back to the parents, but a lot of times you find the parents weren't that way. They tried to teach the opposite. See, the result is, or the problem is their own character. It's a character result. Let people assume responsibility for their decisions, assume responsibility for what they lack in their life because they won't do what they need to do. So, when they're not meek, they're lazy. They're not peevish and apt to complain of divine dispensations of God. See, what Christ says is, learn of me, for I'm meek, lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. In Matthew chapter 11, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 5 shows the importance of meekness is seen in the rewards when, in the eternal kingdom, we rule and reign with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in that kingdom where that will come out. Now, keep it in mind that Paul was elderly. He's having a hard time. It's not that he is going to quit. He will die by execution, his head being cut off. He served God all the way, seeking never to leave his will, but to ever fulfill his will. Also, when he gives these orders that we just read to Titus to come to him diligently, that Titus is to follow, don't forget, the Apostle Paul still had a position. 2 Corinthians 11, 27 through 28, as a matter of fact, starting verse 23 of 2 Corinthians 11, you see all the things that he suffered, night and day in the deep, being in prisons, beaten often, you know, got the whip, the Roman cat of nine tails, got those different things that happened to him. And then you get to verse 27, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily. Now think of that. All these beatings he's been through, all these prisons he's been through, all the times he's been short of clothing and he's been hungry, and all of those things that go with it. I mean, think of that. On top of all of those things, he says, the care of all the churches.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation for the Lord.